That's a happy privilege to be with you tonight. Feel the wonderful presence of Jesus, to know that God is here with us, to know that the Lord is blessing us. God has blessed us with a goodly crowd tonight to minister the word to, and there's quite a number of people that had to return to their home today that has been with us, yet the Lord has still blessed us, and there's people to hear the gospel. We want you to pray with us, and we want you to believe with us, and as we try to do our little bit for God, we want you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us, that we might share in the wonderful, abundant blessing of God together, that Jesus might reward us at the end of the way, all together as one great body of Christ. You know, you don't have to wait till you get to the end of the way to be rewarded of God. God rewards us anyway, Brother JT. But I'm thankful that even though God rewards us in this life, yet at the end of the way we have even a greater reward by receiving the extensive life of the great eternal promise of God. Praise God. And we're thankful for our brothers here tonight. God bless you, brethren. Appreciate you being here with us. We had ministers here last night that stood with us. And tonight, Sunday night, there's some people, I'm sure, that's gone to their own churches. And I think the Lord has blessed us tonight with these people. But how many of you would love to see the revival go on for a few more days? Would you like to do that? All right. We're going to pray that God will bless us through the service here. And if it's His will, we're going to try to extend it a few more days. You know, God has blessed us here to stay a week. Usually we go to a place, we stay 2 or 3 days and we're gone. When I first started preaching years ago, I always stayed 2 or 3 weeks and sometimes a month. And I felt real underprivileged if I didn't have at least a month's revival. And then I began to realize that the world was such a great place and such a large place that if I didn't just start ministering 2 or 3 days here and 2 or 3 days there, that I was going to run short. It wasn't going to be able to make it around. And we began to share our time in the foreign fields and just told 2 or 3 days over here and 2 or 3 days there. And even if we set the tent up, we only set it up for 2 or 3 days and moved on. But here we've been about 7 days and we've run into some of the hardest opposition I guess we ever run into. But we still stayed here 7 days. And so far the Lord hasn't spoke to us to take down the tent. But if you pray, then whatever God wants, well, that's what I want. But there's quite a number of places that's asking us. As a matter of fact, they're doing more than asking us. They're literally pleading with us and have come from miles away to where we live to get us to set the tent in their area. They've wrote letters and asked us to come and set the tent in their areas and in other places. They have actually come to where we live and asked to bring the tent to their area. And in some places they have actually already gone, got the lots, and already gone and got the local TV stations and whatever, and made arrangements for them to work with us just to get us to come and set the tent in their area. But still we want to do what God wants us to do. Now I wish you could just go on with the tent year round. I just love to go on with the tent year round, but you can't do that. You have to go into an auditorium or go into the foreign fields or return back to the home front because the weather gets just a little bit nippy and people have a tendency to want to draw back and not want to go to church, that is the tent, when it gets a little cool. Now to me it doesn't make any difference whether it's cold, whether it's hot. Jesus is the same in my heart. I want to talk with you tonight just a little bit hoarse. But usually a minister stays that way. You know, he usually keeps his throat kind of pulled down from preaching, but we want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus tonight. If you've got your Bibles, we'd like for you to take your Bibles tonight and turn over, I believe it's to the book of St. Luke. Turn with us tonight to the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke. In the 11th verse of the 15th chapter, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field, his fields, to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robes, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry among my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In the 31st verse, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, I'd like to take just a minute or two here and talk to you about a subject that I think is a real good subject. When you use the terms, all that I have, that's a big statement if that comes from a wealthy man. There's people that are not millionaires that when they speak of all that they have, that's a big statement. Because some people have quite a bit in this life. But a millionaire, if he should say all that I have, that really would be a lot. Considering money, our financial goods, monetary values of this life, all that I have, a millionaire, that would be a lot. But when you consider God, and you hear God speak to us as the father did the prodigal, saying, Son, all that I have is thine. That is one of the biggest and the boldest statements that has ever been made in the history of all mankind. Here a father makes the statement, all that I have. You say, well, Brother Pike, this is a parable that Jesus is speaking concerning the prodigal son. I know that that is true. But if you'll search the scriptures, you'll find that God hath made the same statement concerning the children of God. And he has said to them that love Jesus and them that follow God, he said, I have given unto thee all things. He said, all that I have is thine. If he hath given us all things, if he hath freely given us all things, the writer tells us, shall he not with that freely give unto us every desire of the heart, everything that could be granted to us in the way of that which makes us happy, that which makes us rejoice, that which pertains unto life. The Bible said God has given us all things that pertain unto life. If He hath given us all things, does not that take in everything that the heart could wish for? Everything that we could ever long for, every desire? Wouldn't that satisfy every longing if God hath given us all things? For God with Christ has given us all things. He hath freely given us all things. And the writer said, if He hath given us Jesus His very best to begin with, we know then there is nothing better than that that He would withhold from us. And with Christ, He gives us all things. And to give us all things, that means that our very thoughts, our very heart, our very longing is completely sufficed and satisfied. So then tonight, God tells us that I will give you everything that I have. Everything. You know, there's some people that say, well, Brother Pike, I feel that there's just some things that God doesn't want us to know. But did you know the Bible tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things? Even everything that God knows, God wants us to know. Everything that God understands, He wants us to understand. He wants to elevate us to a level to where God Himself can communicate with you and I. Just like we would sit down and communicate with our father or with our son, or just like a family would sit down and communicate with one another. God wants to give us all things. Through Christ Jesus, God has given us all things. You say, well, Brother Pike, if God has given us all things, why is it then that we don't have all things? Why is it that we don't enjoy all things? If God has given us all things, why is it that we don't have all of these things at our fingertip to use? The Bible said, shall not God with Christ freely give us all things? If God has given us His Son, if God has given us Christ, if God has given us the best that heaven can afford, will He not with Christ give us all things? Is there anything better that God could give us than His own dear beloved Son? Therefore, He has given us the very best to begin with. And everything that God could give us, He has given into our hands. All things that pertain unto life. And I made the statement here the other night, when you say, I have given you all things that pertain unto life, that means that God has given you health. That means that God has given you happiness. That means that God has given you financial prosperity. That means that God has given you peace. That means that God's given you all the blessings of life. It means that He has put everything at your fingertip. When you say all things that pertain unto life, that covers a lot of territory. Isn't that right? Brother, when you talk about all things that pertain unto life, you're talking about a lot of things. And God has given us all things that pertain unto life. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's given us all things that pertain unto life? God has freely given us all things that pertain unto life. Hallelujah. So tonight we know that God has given us everything that heart can wish for. Brother, sister, why can't we enjoy those things that pertain unto life? It's because we have let our iniquities separate between us and our God. Tonight, I want you to know it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault that we're not enjoying God's best tonight. It's not God's fault, but it's our fault because we're enjoying less than God's best tonight. When we do what God tells us to do, then we have God's best. When we put distance between us and God, then we do not have God's best. Why is it that the church is sick tonight? Because they're walking afar off like Peter did. When you get away from life, I said last night, sickness sets in. Isn't that right? When you get away from God, sickness sets in. But my brother or sister, when you fellowship life, there is no sickness. When you get close to the Spirit of life, there is no sickness. Why is the world sick tonight? Because they put God so far off in the distance. Why is the hospitals filling up with sick people tonight? Because they've lent to their own understanding. And they've decided to settle the issue by medical powers and medical profession. And God's decided to let them do it. Come on, folks. Glory to God. When you decide to let somebody settle it by medicine, God will let you do just exactly that. Did you know that? When you decide that you're going to give all the glory to medicine and give all the glory to doctors and not give any glory to God, then God will let the doctors take care of it. Isn't that right? But I'll tell you right now, when you begin to give glory to God and you begin to praise God, then God will take care of your situation.
When you give all of your finance to the doctors, you give all of your time to the doctors, you give all of your praise to the doctors, all of your confidence to the doctors, then you've got to look to the doctors to take care of you. Somebody may say, well, I think the doctors are doing a good job of it. Well, I want you to know tonight, I think they're doing a poor job of it. I said, I think they're doing a poor job of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I worked over where I used to have to go out with it. I'd go out here with an ambulance and I'd pick them up and I'd take them in the hospital. I'd put them in the ambulance over here and I'd take them into the hospital. I'd take them through the front door. Are you listening? And everything looked real well when we went in the front door. And as far as everybody that came out the front door was concerned, everybody was coming out the front door. Because that's all they saw. But I want you to know a lot of times we had to return and go through the door and take some of them out the back door and take them over to the morgue. So all of them that go through the front door don't come back out the front door. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, God's doing a good job. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm going to trust in the medical profession and you can do what you want to do. That's all right, but I want to tell you something tonight, children of God. I thank God for everything that God's ever done in the way of stopping a pain, in easing a hurt, in lifting oppression, or anything that might help the human family. I thank God for every medical aid God's ever given. Because when a person's in pain, they need something to relieve pain. And I thank God for it. But I want you to know you can't keep leaning on those things. You're going to have to turn to God. You're going to have to call on the name of the Lord. You're going to have to do better than what you're doing. The world's going to have to get away from that thing. The hospitals are running over tonight. They can't take care of them anymore. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I want you to know the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. Are you listening? You might say, I think I'll just hold on to the doctor. You go ahead and trust God. But I'll hold on to the doctor. But what are you going to do when there's no more healing medicine? The Bible said in that day there shall be no healing medicine. In that day there shall be no healing medicine. What are you going to do in that hour? What are you going to do in that day when they can't stop the pain? The Bible said it'll come to pass that men will pray for death. They'll seek death to get out of their misery. And in that hour, God will actually lift death. He will actually lift death. He won't even let death be a consolation to you. He won't even let you die to get out of your misery. He intends for you to give glory unto God, folks. He intends for you to give glory unto God. Are you going to give glory unto God? Are we going to worship God? Are we going to just keep messing around and waiting around until the wrath of God falls upon us? Or are we going to turn our hearts to God? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to give glory unto God because I know that's the right way. Hallelujah. All that I have, I'll give to you. Why is it that I'm not enjoying it, you say? Why is it I can't be partakers of it? It's all because we're separating ourselves from God by the continual thing that's called iniquity. Thine iniquities are separated between thee and thy God. My hand is not short that I cannot reach thee nor save thee. But thine iniquities are separated between thee and thy God. Brother, when we put iniquity away from us, when we get worldliness out of our heart, when we learn to love God more than things, when we get our minds on God more than the world, when we give glory to God rather than the professional world, when we praise God and find more interest in the things of God than the things of this world, when we enjoy going to church more than having entertainment, when we enjoy praying and seeking God more than going out to dinners and having suppers and having parties and having family reunions. You love Jesus? You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in family reunions? Don't you believe in having a banquet? I'm preaching to you tonight about the prodigal. The Bible said God had a great banquet here prepared for that prodigal son. This father, when he came home, he killed a fatted calf. They had a good time. They had a great, great banquet, isn't that right? But brother, there's a place for the banquet. There's a time for the banquet. But there's also a time to fast. There's a time to pray. There's a time to seek God. There's a time to help the needy. There's a time to spend money. There's a time to buy things. But there's also a time to make a sacrifice to win souls and help the poor and needy. We say, Brother Pike, why are we sick tonight? The entire world is sick. The entire world is sick. They're either naturally sick or spiritually sick. They're sick tonight. They're sick financially speaking or physically speaking or spiritually speaking. They're in a physical dilemma, a natural dilemma, or a spiritual dilemma. They're in peril tonight of one thing or another. Why is it, my brother, sister? When the Bible tells us that God has given us all things that pertain unto life, why are we then in this kind of condition? How can God say to me that I have given you all things, and then I be in such circumstance? It's simply because I do not believe what God said. Now you say, Brother Pike, but I do believe what God said. My brother, you could not believe what God said and not have what God promised. There is no way you could believe what God said and not have what God promised. If you believe what God said, you would have what God promised. If you do not have what God promised, you do not believe what God said. You would say, but Brother Pike, I know that I believe it. But the Bible said, with your lips you confess me, but your hearts are far from me. With your lips you may say, I believe, but that doesn't mean you believe. In your intellectual reasoning you may state that I believe, but your heart may not confess faith. Isn't that right? Can you confess faith tonight? Do you really believe tonight? My brother, you can't make your heart believe. You can't make your heart believe. You know, we've got faith all mixed up. Evangelists coming through preaching faith. They've got people to believing that it's just some kind of intellectual concept. And all they've got to do is just say, I believe. And they call them down the altar and they make a confession. They say, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ? They say, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. They say, so be it. Everything's all right. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you confess it, everything's all right. Now you say, Brother Pike, isn't that what the Bible says? No, that's not what the Bible says. You say, Brother Pike, the Bible says if they confess with their lips that God would save them. The Bible doesn't say any such thing. The Bible said if thou canst believe in thine heart, if thou canst believe in thine heart, and then confession is made with the lips unto salvation. But you must first believe in your heart unto righteousness. Isn't that right? You must first believe in your heart unto righteousness. It doesn't matter if 10,000 people get around an altar and make a confession with their lips and say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean either one of them is saved. Maybe 10,000 people confess Christ. Not one of them has been saved. But brother, just let one person, even sitting back there in the audience, they don't even have to come up here. Just let them sit back there in the audience and let them believe from their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them believe in their heart that God actually took Jesus to Calvary and that He raised Jesus Christ from the dead for their salvation. And then let them make that statement that they believe on that. And God is coming to their heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My brother, you can't make your heart believe. You can't make your heart believe. Isn't that right? You can't make your heart believe. But I'll tell you one way that your heart will believe. The Bible said when we do the things that please God, hereby we convince our heart. When we honor God with our deeds. When we love God indeed, not just in word. But when we love God indeed, when we do the things that please God, when we put forth our efforts and our endeavors, then our heart automatically begins to believe. But until we do something with our bodily deeds, until we do something with our endeavors of life, until we put forth some physical effort, our heart is never going to believe. It's never going to believe. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Somebody's got it in their mind that they can go out here and do everything there is to be done in the world. Get up in the morning. All they do is ride, eat, drink, be merry. buy, sell, make money, get gain, get education, have a good time, frolic, have family visits, never pray, never fast, never seek God, never be spiritual, never study the Word of God, never do anything that's right in the sight of God, so far as spiritual things. And they've got it in their mind that everything's right because they say, I'm a Christian. Because once in a while they say, praise the Lord. Because they go to church somewhere once in a while and say, I love Jesus. And make a confession. But I want you to know tonight you're not right with God. I want you to know tonight you're not on your way to heaven. I want you to know tonight that you believe all right. But you know what you believe? You'll believe a lie and be damned. You're believing all right, but you're believing a lie and you're going to be damned. You believe you're all right when you're all wrong. You believe you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. You believe that you're going into that world of peace when you're going into that world of torment. But my brother, if you put forth a little efforts unto God, if you'll conform to the Word of God, if you'll believe in your heart, if you'll make a true confession with your lips from your heart, God will give you salvation. Did you know there's people, they're not going to believe in God. They're going to believe in what they want to believe in. They're going to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what God's Word says. It doesn't matter what God wants them to do. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what they desire to do. And it doesn't make any difference what you say about it. But I want you to know tonight, we've come to that final hour of judgment. And the great pendulum of the clock of time is beginning to swing. And it's beginning to tick away your life. And we've come right down to the end of the road. And God's beginning to call men to the judgment seat of Christ. And God's beginning to call you and make you accountable for your sins. And God is beginning to point His finger at you and say, Laodicea, lukewarm, I would that you were hot or cold. Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Like Billy Graham said one time, I come through and have a revival. Thousands of people make a confession to Christ. I come through a year later and I can't hardly find a one of them living for God. You know what he said? He said, what they need to do is live a life of holiness. That's what a Baptist preacher said. He said, that's what they need to do. You love Jesus? What we need to do is get some fruits unto holiness and have the end thereof, eternal life. We need to get right with God. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get our hearts right with God. When we make a confession with our heart, when we believe in our heart, then God said, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. I'll give you everything that I've got, so long as you believe in your heart. But friend, tonight you can't have anything that God's got by making believe. You can try to believe all you want to, but you'll die in your sins. You can try to believe that you're healed and you'll still die. There's people that's going around all over the nation and they're saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, but they're still dying. They're still dying. They're still dying. They're confessing that they're healed, but they're still dying. And they're dying with those diseases when they say that God's healed them of those diseases. You know why? Because they're confessing with their lips, but they're not really believing in their heart. You know why they're not believing in their heart? Because they're not putting away the things of the world. They're not living a holy life. They're not separating themselves from sin and iniquity. They're not walking on with God. They're not going on with God. Their hearts is condemning them. And because their hearts is condemning them, they still have the same disease. And they're still dying with the same disease. And they can't find their deliverance. Isn't that right? The Bible said that God smote Asa in the feet with a disease. And the Bible said he sought the physicians rather than God and he died. Somebody would say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. Asa was a wicked man. That's the reason he did that. The Bible didn't say he was a wicked man. The Bible didn't say he was a wicked man. He just done some things that God didn't like. And he wouldn't repent over those things. Did you know you can be a church feller? You can be a church goer. And you can keep doing things that God don't like. And the first news you know, you'll be smitten with some kind of affliction. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe God smites anybody. The Bible said God wounds and God binds up. God afflicts and God heals. The Bible said, can evil come to a city and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? The Bible said God creates the good, God created the evil. And God has His way in both. And God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Isn't that right? So that means that all we've got to do is find favor with God and everything will be all right. All that I have is thine, Jesus said. What have you got, Jesus? I've got peace. I've got happiness. I've got healing. I've got prosperity. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Hallelujah. Did you know God wants you to be rich tonight? Somebody say, Brother Pike, I just don't believe God wants me to be rich. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Hallelujah. God will bless you tonight financially. God will bless you in prosperity. God will bless you with health tonight. God will bless you with spiritual blessings in all heavenly places. God wants you to be blessed tonight. Somebody would say, well, I'm sick for the glory of God, Brother Pike. You never seen anybody sick for the glory of God. You can't find in the Bible where anybody was ever sick for the glory of God. Somebody would say, well, look at poor old Job. Job was sick for the glory of God. You can't read it nowhere in the Bible where Job was sick for the glory of God. You can't find where Job was sick because of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that Job was healed for the glory of God. Is that right? Job was healed for the glory of God. You can't find where God ever got any glory out of Job's sickness. He got glory out of Job's faith in God in the day that Job was delivered. He got glory out of the testimony of Job when Job said, though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That faith that Job had. Hallelujah. God didn't get any glory because Daniel was in the lion's den. Isn't that right? Praise God. How do you know that God was in the lion's den with Daniel? God didn't get any glory because he was in the lion's den. God got glory when he come out of the lion's den. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If going into the lion's den brings glory, when they throwed all them other people in the lion's den, the lions broke every bone. There was a lot of glory taking place. Isn't that right? But when old brother Daniel come out there alive without anybody helping him, that gave glory to God. That gave glory to God. Isn't that right? So then God gets glory out of your faith when you overcome your affliction. When you overcome the powers of evil. All that I have is thine, Jesus said. Brother, don't let the devil cower down your faith. Don't let the devil push you down. Don't let the devil press you down and tell you that God doesn't want you healed. You say, but Brother Pike, it's been such a long, long time. It's been such a long, long time. Sometimes it takes a long time. It takes a long time. You say, well, it takes a long time for God to heal. If God's going to wait till my life is used up to heal me, what kind of glory is God going to get out of that? God isn't going to wait until you're 90 years old when you've been afflicted when you was 25 just so that He can heal you. God's not waiting until you're 90 years old. You might not get your healing until you're 90. You might not get it at all. But if you get it when you're 90, you could have got it when you was 25. God was waiting on your faith, not your age. There's no days and nights with God. Up where God lives, the sun don't ever go down and come up. There's just one great eternal day with God. How do you know there's just one great eternal day with God? There's no night and day with God. Somebody said God will do it tomorrow. Where's God tomorrow? Where's God's tomorrow? Can you show it to me? Can you show it to me? Show me God's tomorrow. Somebody said, now I know, Brother Pike, God will do it tomorrow. You show me God's tomorrow. There is no yesterday with God. There is no yesterday with God. There is no tomorrow with God. There is only a yesterday and tomorrow with mankind. The sun goes up on one side of the world or one side of the hill, and it goes down on the other side. And there is a day and night. But the God that keepeth Jacob, the Bible said, he never slumbers or sleeps. There ain't no yesterday and tomorrow with God. God's the same yesterday and day forever, and today and forever, according to man, just today's today's and forever. There is just one glorious eternal day with God. And brother, he wants to heal you on that day, and that day is right now. God wants to heal you in his day. Oh, brother John got caught up in the Spirit. And John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What kind of day was that? The one and only day. The one and only day. Brother, when you get into the Spirit, there ain't but one day. That's God's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. All that I have is thine. God wants to give you all things that pertain unto life tonight. Brother, sister, if you need healing that pertains unto life, God wants you to be healed. If you need prosperity, God wants you to have prosperity that pertains unto life. If you need peace, if you're separated from your wife, your husband, if your children's been taken away from you, if they've overpowered you in this world and taken your children away from you, some bad misdemeanor of life has crossed your path, and you're having a bad, bad run of life, God can just wipe it all out. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? I've been down some dark, lonely trails. Glory to God, I've been down some dark, lonely trails. God's done some wonderful things for me. I've encountered things tonight that would make some of you shake in your boots. But God's always seen me through. I've had my back to the wall for many, many multiplied thousands of dollars. No way to get it. I go to God in prayer, and not one time has God ever failed to come through. Not one time when I had no place to get it. I've never done like some evangelists, get out and press, beg and plead and ask people to give me money. I purpose in my heart that I wouldn't even take personal offerings. And I'm not even taking personal offerings from people that come to give them to me. In my lifetime, you come up, you couldn't give me a personal offering if you wanted to. If you had $1 million tonight and you came to give it to Brother Pike tonight, you couldn't give it to me. Oh, you say, yes, Brother Pike. No, you couldn't. Not even $1 million nor 10 million. But God always meets my needs. God meets my needs. God meets my needs. Did you know that God meets my needs? Hallelujah. God meets my needs. God always meets my needs. Praise God. So then, when we trust God, when we get our heart right, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. Everything that I have is thine. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Like Billy Sunday said, I'm a traveling evangelist, but I can't preach to a traveling congregation. So old Billy, he just stopped when he began to travel around. All right. Now, God has always met my needs. He's always stood by me. God will give you whatever you want. He that waits at the altar, he's partakers with the altar. If you want to receive an offering, there's nothing wrong with it. God will give it to you. Evangelists do it all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. They live from that, and God gives them that means of having it. But God spoke to my heart and said, I don't want you to do it, son. I've got a different thing in your life. Whereas others can do it, I cannot. That's your way, that's their way. This is my way. They do it, God blesses them in it. I could do it, God might kill me in it. Because he's met my needs another way. He might not meet their needs another way. Their faith might not register another way. They have to work according to their faith. Jesus said, according to your faith. You know what? Those that journeyed through the wilderness, they believed that God would rain down bread out of heaven for them. And God did feed them with angel bread. And the Bible said they did eat angel bread. And brother and sister, I want you to know tonight that you couldn't do that unless you had faith. They believed that God would do it. Moses believed that God would do it. But I'd hate to see you try that tonight unless that was your faith. Is that right? Praise God. It's no wonder God said he'd rain fire and brimstone down on this generation. There's never been a more wicked, ungodly generation in the history of the world. You love Jesus? All of these people that come under here, I'm going to meet you again one of these days. Over there by the judgment, you won't be able to walk out from under this tent because we're going to stand there. And on that day, you won't get to leave. You'll stay right there till Brother Pyatt gets through, until God gets through. You know something? That's one of the cruelest, most rudest things that anybody ever done. Now, some people have to get up and go to the restrooms, I realize then. And they're pressed with necessity. But when people get up in the middle of the service and leave when they don't have to leave, and they just walk out like they do, that's the power of Satan doing that to discourage the people and to interrupt the service. Can you imagine people walking out on God? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're not God. The Bible said it be not you that speak, but God speaking from heaven. And don't you know them people are cursed when they do that? Did you know that when people walk out from under the tent when God is speaking, that them people are cursed? Every person that walks out from under this tent when God's speaking, do you know that person is cursed? Now, a lot of times a person might get by with it because they're ignorant and a babe in the Lord. But people being in the day that we're living in, and as much knowledge as they are about religion in the day we're living in, and they walk out from under this tent and God speak to them, don't you know they're cursed? Did you know that the minister has the power to bless you or curse you? Somebody say, I wonder why I got cancer. I wonder why I got TB. I wonder why I got heart trouble. I wonder why I'm having financial problems. I wonder why I lose my home. I wonder why I have a wreck. I wonder about all these things. Brother, let me tell you something. When you treat God that way, when you treat God's house that way, when you have no more respect for God than that, don't you know God will tear your hide up? Don't you know God will get you? People will sit at a ball game and flounder around while people wallow around in the mud like a bunch of hogs and break icicles while they're doing it. But we're living in a Laodicean day where one person believes this and another person believes that, and they've got themselves so mixed up and so intermingled that if you don't say everything according to their thinking and according to their desire, brother, they'll fly out just like a bunch of bees. But you know what it is? The Bible said that when God brought the wheat in, that he would trample the floor. Isn't that right? He said, my fan is in my hand and I shall thoroughly purge my floor. And you know what it is? Used to they brought that grain in and they trample over that grain. And that winnowing fan would make that chaff jump up like that. Is that right? And then the contrary wind would blow it out the door, so that the grain would stay where it was. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. That's what God's doing. He's purging his floor. When the preacher's preaching, it's God speaking. It's God purging his floor. He's purging his floor. He's blowing away the chaff. Hallelujah. But God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus started off with the multitudes. He preached to the great multitudes. When he got through, he had 12 left. He said, you're going to leave too? Even the 70 that's been casting out devils, working miracles, they left him too. When he got down to Revelation, said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they thought he was a cannibal. And they left too. Wasn't nobody left but the 12. But I'll tell you what you find in the city of New Jerusalem over there, their names is in the foundation of that great city. You love Jesus tonight? You know what we need to do tonight? We need to get our hearts right with God. That's the very thing I was talking about a while ago. People belong to church and ain't got nothing from God. You ask them, you say, what are you? They say, I'm Methodist. Why are you Methodist? Because my daddy was a Methodist. Why ain't no reason to be a Methodist? Say, I'm a Baptist. Why are you a Baptist? Because my grandmother was a Baptist. There ain't no reason to be a Baptist. Brother, if you can't see more in being a Baptist and being a Methodist than that, you need to do something. Say, why are you a Pentecostal? Because my grandpa was a Pentecostal. If that's the only religion you got, you need to do something about it. Did you know that? If you belong to the Catholic Church just because your sister belonged to the Catholic Church, that's nothing, no proof of salvation. Brother, what you need to do is get God in your heart. You need to belong to the Methodist Church because you see something in the Methodist Church. You need to go to the Methodist Church because the preacher's got something to give you and because there's something in the Methodist Church. You need to go to the Baptist Church because there's something in the Baptist Church that feeds your soul. You need to go to the Pentecostal Church because there's something in the Pentecostal Church that feeds your soul. You need to go to the Catholic Church because there's something in the Catholic Church that feeds your soul. And brother, if there's nothing in those churches, you need to get out of all of them and get a hold of God's Word. You need to get filled with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. God didn't say, I'm going to save you because you belong to church. Now, did He? God didn't say, Brother Pike, I'll take you to heaven because you belong to church. You can't find in the Bible that God said He was going to save any kind of church. He said, you got a name that you live, but you're dead. God didn't say nothing about saving us because we belong to a church. God said He'd save us because our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that right? God didn't say He'd save us because we could cast out devils. That 70 that came back was rejoicing and said, oh God, said the devils are subject to us in your name. Jesus warned them, said, you better rejoice over the fact that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't be rejoicing just because devils are subject unto you. I believe God was giving them a warning right then, don't you? I believe God was warning them right then, because it wasn't long before the 70 left Him. If they'd have made sure their names was in the Lamb's Book of Life, it would have been a different situation. They were rejoicing over the wrong thing. What we need to do is find out whether or not our names is in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. I had some of the dignitaries here the other night. I had some of the city officials here. And they were doing pretty good till a little discernment got to working. And I said something about somebody being here. And they got to talking one to another like this. And somebody sitting in the front of them, they said they overheard them. And said them fellas talked about getting out of here. They talked about getting out of here. Said it was a strange thing because this particular person that was sitting in front of them had just made a statement to her husband. Said them fellas back there ain't right with God. And that's something because the person that was sitting in front of them was a charismatic person themselves. Didn't know all that much about God. But they had enough knowledge about God. At least they believed in something. They know that they didn't have nothing from God. And they got up and got out of here. God had already shown me that they come to spy on our liberty. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? Don't you want to serve God tonight? Don't you want something in your heart tonight? Don't you want the Spirit of God tonight? Let me tell you something, children of God, tonight, and you that have reverence and respect for God. In every service, the devil always brings somebody to jump up and run out. Did you know that? I told my wife last night, and I've said this a lot of times, you never have a service as a rule. But what the devil don't plant somebody at the beginning of it to jump up and run out to discourage the people or to insult God or insult the congregation or to make it look bad. Everywhere I've ever been, it's always that way. It might be one, it might be two or three. And then if you got to get to preaching a little bit of godliness, you might have some like we had tonight. Had quite a number of them tonight. That's more than we had in a pretty good while. You know what causes that? Some people, they go to church and they say, well, why we don't stay that long in church? What you keeping us so long for? We're not used to staying out here this long in church. But they go to a ball game, they stay half the night. They watch a television program, they stay up till 12 o'clock to see the late show. They can go out to lunch and drink coffee and talk till they run them out of the cafe. Is that right? Somebody said, well, you don't suppose to hold service so long, Brother Pike. But Paul preached all night long. He preached all night long. I thought that was a pretty good sermon. I haven't gone that long yet. You love Jesus? Say, well, God don't do that. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then, what we need to do is to learn about Jesus. It's like the vision I saw the other night. And if I say this, I might lose some more of my congregation. I told this the other night, and I lost two or three. But I don't mean these things offensive. Because God is not mocked. You don't mock the congregation of God. And we're not mocking God. We're just making godly statements. But you do mock the devil. Did you know that? Elijah mocked the devil. Isn't that right? But I made the statement the other night. I come here to Jeff and I thought I was going to meet a great bunch of mighty Bible scholars. And I was all ready to preach the revelation of the Lord. Preach the deep mysteries of Christ. And I went to fasting and praying and seeking God. And all of a sudden I had a vision. And in the vision I saw a number of little bitty babies in diapers. And the Lord showed me standing there. And we had a powerful ray. A great powerful ray that was valuable to humanity. But I had to be ever so careful with it around these little babies. And you know what made it so bad? Was these were some of the most contrary little babies you ever seen. Little babies in diapers with contrary spirits. And that's the truth, so help me God. Now I know all the people of Jeff ain't like that. I know all the churches of Jeff ain't like that. I know there's Bible scholars here and people that love God. And I know there's people that's got good understanding in Christ. I've got enough understanding and integrity with God to know that. But folks, I know one thing. The vision is true. Since I've been here in Jeff, I've met some babies among you that's contrary babies. That ain't nothing but in diapers. And they feel they're great people and they haven't even got out of their diapers yet. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I mean contrary babies. God made me to know that even though they were babies, they had contrary spirits. It was really shocking to see little babies in diapers with contrary spirits. But I've met some of them around here. Now then, I thank God for some babies that's not contrary. Now maybe I got some babies here tonight that's not contrary. And then I've got some grown men and women and some parents here, I'm sure, that's watching after those babies. Because wherever God's got babies, He's got mothers and daddies too, isn't that right? There are spiritual parents in God that's here in Jeff. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. A whole lot of these people that think they're spiritual parents ain't nothing but contrary babies. And some of you other people that know God and love God, you need to rise up and get a hold of these babies and try to watch after these babies and help these babies to get straight now before they destroy these babies. Jesus said, feed my lambs. You need to be a pillar in the temple of God. Some of these people around here, they're interested in one thing, and that's money. And they're interested in one thing, and that's position. And they've got some of these people in an ecclesiastical grip, and they're choking the very life out of these people. They won't let them praise God. They won't let them do nothing. They're actually killing them and literally smothering the life out of these people. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You need to be praising God. How do you know you're supposed to praise God? The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. How do you know you're supposed to clap your hands? Let's clap our hands. Can we clap our hands? Clap our hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Somebody say, you're out of order, Brother Pike. That's not out of order. That's the order of the church, my brother, is to praise God and clap your hands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible teaches God is a spirit. He inhabits the praise of His people. How in the world is God going to come down unless you have some joy? How are you going to enjoy going to church unless you praise God and have some joy? You've got to praise God. Another thing, you've got to grow in the grace of God. You've got to grow in the knowledge of God. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Now, I know I'm a little hoarse tonight. A little difficult to be able to get over to you like I'd like to. This weather switching them out like it does tied my throat up just a little. But listen, folks. We have got to get away from this contrariness. We've got to get away from this ideas that we've got in our mind. this idea about religion. Our idea about religion. You say, well, Brother Pine, what do you expect everybody to do? Come together on your idea? I certainly do not. I expect everybody to come together on the Word of God. We need to come together on the foundation of God's eternal Word. Whatever God's Word says, that's what it's got to be. If it's God's Word, Brother Pike won't disagree with you. If I've got anything that's contrary to that Word, I'll lay it away from me tonight. But if you've got anything contrary to that Word, you need to get rid of it tonight. You know, there ain't nothing worse than somebody that's got something in their mind and they say, well, my granddaddy taught me this, or my pastor taught me this, or my parents taught me this. There ain't nobody no worse than that. That'd be contrary to the Word of God. Brother, if the Word of God says it, it don't matter if my daddy said it, if my mother said it, if my brother said it, or whoever, if it's contrary to the Word of God, I'm ready to get rid of everything and go to the Word of God. I can't help it. If John Wesley said it, I believe John Wesley done all he knowed to do. I believe that all of those men back there done all they knowed to do. Did you know Peter had power to raise the dead? Did you know that Peter could walk on the water? Are you listening? Did you know that Peter could heal people by a shatter? But did you know Paul said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed? Did you know that? And he said, Peter, let's get back on the Word of God. You might have the keys to the kingdom, but the Word of God's still the same, Peter. Let's get back to the Word of God. Now, some of you might feel you've got the keys to the kingdom around here, but let's get back to the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's expecting us to preach the Word. He said, preach the Word. Go into all the world and preach the gospel of the Word to every creature. It's time we got rid of our doctrines and our disciplines and our ideas and our ways and got back to God's Word to see what God's Word says about it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pot, it depends on how you interpret the Word. Interpreting the Word ain't got nothing to do with it. The Bible said the Word's of no private interpretation. It was wrote as men were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's no private interpretation of the Word of God. God said what He meant and meant what He said. And it's so clear that anyone can understand it if they'll pick it up and read it with an open heart. You love Jesus? When it comes to the mysteries of God, then Paul said, I'm made a steward of the mysteries. God's got some people that stewards of the mysteries of God. They know the mysteries of God. They understand the mysteries of God. He's given them the mysteries of God. But brother, when it comes to the doctrine and the fundamental, the basic fundamentals of salvation, the Bible takes care of that. You can understand it. It's very plain. It's laid out in simple salvation and instruction to where you can understand it. You love Jesus? That's enough for us all to walk together on. Did you know that? We might disagree on the mysteries. We might not come together on the mysteries. But there's one thing about it. The basic fundamentals of the gospel of salvation, the Word tells us enough about it and makes it clear enough that every one of us being honest-hearted, if we'll look at it and acknowledge it and read it and not try to get out of it, away from it, we'll know the truth when we hear it. We'll see the truth, we'll understand the truth, we'll believe the truth, and we'll all come together on the foundation of the truth. That's what we're going to have to do. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you tonight believe that God's going to have different compartments in heaven for different denominations and different people? How many of you believe that? Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, I believe the Methodist is going. You know, we had a Methodist brother here last night. He may be here tonight. He was, as a matter of fact, he was over the supper last night. And he said he'd be back tonight if he could. Had a Methodist preacher with us last night. Real fine brother. Now, we've had Assembly of God, brother, had all kind of brothers here. But how many of you believe tonight that God's going to have a Methodist compartment, a Baptist compartment? God's going to have an Assembly of God compartment, a UPC compartment. God's going to have a non-denominational compartment, a charismatic compartment. God's going to have a Catholic compartment. God's going to have all kind of compartments up there just for your group of people. How do you believe that? You know God ain't going to have no such thing. You say, well, Brother Pike, what's he going to do with all these people?
Why don't you know this bunch of stiff, starchy people that gets up there and says, bless God, I'm Methodist. God's going to shut the door in their face, and that's as far as they're ever going to go. Why, he wouldn't even take the second look at them. They say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Pentecostal. Why, God wouldn't even look the second time at them. But I'll tell you what, out of the Methodist, out of the Baptist, out of the Presbyterian, out of the UPC, out of the Assemblies of God, out of the Church of God, and out of all the other organizations, even out of the Catholic, came Martin Luther. Out of those great organizations, God's pulling people out. And God's saving people. And there's people in those organizations that's going to heaven. Did you know that? There's people that's going on with God. And they're going to receive the truth. And they're going on from glory to glory until they find the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Did you know? A lot of people, they'll say, I've got the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike. Okay, you say, Brother Pike, Brother Sister, the Bible says such and such and such and such. I don't believe that. Like a man said one time, somebody said such and such and such and such, and said, it ain't in my Bible. Somebody said, it is in your Bible. It ain't in my Bible. Well, yes, it is in your Bible. I'll show it to you. Can't show it to me in my Bible. Said, well, why can't I show it to you in your Bible? Said, your Bible's just like my Bible. Said, just like your Bible. Said, but it ain't in my Bible. Said, why ain't it? Said, I tore it out. So the man ripped it out. Like a man I talked to one time, I was telling him something in the Bible was contrary to what he believed, contrary to the movement he belonged to. I said, well, brother, this is what the Bible says. And the Bible said, preach the word. He said, well, there's one thing about it. I said, well, what is it? He said, that preacher made a mistake. I said, you mean the man that wrote the Bible, he made a mistake? He said, he made a mistake. Now, folks, let me tell you something. When we get to where we've got to correct God's Word, then we might as well to close the book because it's the end of the day. I tell you, it's the end of the day. If we don't have nothing to base our... Look, if I didn't have something to base my sanity on, I'd be a lunatic tonight. Did you know that? You got to have something as an absolute in life to base your sanity on, or you would be a lunatic. It's the same way with salvation. You've got to have some foundation. Now listen, have you got time just to listen just a few minutes? I know some of you are getting kind of cold, and I tell you, about time to get ready to preach. I have to close out here. I have to struggle and fight with people walking out and going here and there and getting minds together. About time to get them all together to where we can do something, you know, then we have to quit. I guess that's why Paul preached all night. You love Jesus? Praise God. I'd love to say some things, but I guess I better not. We've got to stay together. How many of you believe the coming of the Lord's at hand tonight? Now just look at a little simple thing tonight. Will you do that? Will you bear with me just a minute? Have you bear with me just a minute? Just a few minutes here. I won't take but just a few minutes. Now look. We are at the end of the world. Would you agree to that? This is the end of the world. Did you know that Peter said, as far back as his day, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come? Did you know Calvary was the ends of the world? Now, we can't go into that because I know that some of you wouldn't listen. That'd be a second sermon. Some of you diagnosed that as a second sermon. Praise God. You love Jesus? Paul, I say, preached all night. It wasn't a second sermon. He's just getting through with the first one. But anyway, that was the ends of the world. You say, Brother Pike, what was it from Calvary? It was the church ages. It has been the church ages. Now, did you know that astronauts have gone up? As in heaven, so in earth. Has to be a natural, has to be a spiritual. Now, I want you to look at it for a minute. The astronauts have gone up. Is that right? You know what they've done? They have went up so high that they've seen the end of the world. They have seen the ends of the world. Isn't that right?
We think this world's a big thing. But they've gone up so high that they've looked back on this little ball that we call the earth and we call our world. And they've seen the ends of the world. That means you're at the end of the world. Now, the angel of Revelation 10, he put one foot on the land, and I wish we could get into the mysteries tonight, and he put one foot on the sea. He raised his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. You know, we can't get into the mysteries. We can't bring the meat of the word. We can't build up the church because they're still like a bunch of babies fussing and fighting over you saying this or saying that, or whether it's going to fit what they want it to fit or not, or whether it's going to go along with what they believe. So they're just robbing themselves, just starving themselves to death. This angel raised his hand to heaven. He sware by him that liveth forever and ever. He said, time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. Now look. That means that you can throw your almanacs over in the river. That means that you can take all your clocks, all your timepieces, throw it away. Your wristwatch, throw it away. Every time marker in the earth, take it, throw it away. Why? Because he said, time shall be no more. What does he mean? Did you know, as I said a while ago, there is no yesterday with God, there's no tomorrow. Isn't that right? The sun never comes up and goes down with God. For your sake, for your sanity, so that you can keep your sanity. Man is so finite in his thinking. Man is so fragile. He's so nervous. He gets so upset and so shaky that God has to give him something to keep his sanity. So God gives him time markers. And God gives him hours. And God gives him days. And God gives him night. And he programs his mind like a computer. And as long as he's got this system, he feels safe. He feels secure. He's not shaky. You follow me? Now when those men get way up yonder, and they get to where the sun don't come up anymore, and the sun don't go down anymore, something's taking place. You follow me? Now listen, that angel said time won't be anymore. God one day, when he created this little old thing we call the world, this little old ball, and throwed it out into space, into its orbit, as science says. When God did that, he started a little time system. A little time system. I wish we had the people that could listen some night to where we could go back and bring it out and show you what the writer meant when he said the shadow of death, and show you why that men die, and prove to you that men don't have to die. Men die because of the time system. Men die because of what's called the shadow of death. And I wish we could go back and show you where it was instigated, why God instigated it, and how to escape it tonight to where you don't have to die. Paul got a revelation and said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. Folks, we're in that age right now. But the church can't quit fussing and fighting over some little old frivolous things long enough to even get into what God's got for them to bring them into that eternal world to where they can escape death. But he started that little time system. But brothers and sisters, that little time system that he started back there when he set up the thing called the world, she's about ticked her last tick. Just about ticked out now. It's done about run its course. And God just about threw that little old time system, and he's fixing to take that little old thing that dropped down here in the middle of his great one day. God's great one eternal day. That little old thing that dropped down here in the midst of His great one eternal day and began to tick, 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 tick for about 6,000 or 7,000 years. God's fixing to fold it up like an accordion and throw it over here out of His presence and out of His knowledge forever and ever. And time ain't gonna be no more. It was that great one eternal day till God set that little old system into action. And until God started that little old system for your sake, just one great eternal day. Then God instigated that little old tick, 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 so that you could count your days away. And somebody says, I'm 25, and now I'm 30, and now I'm 45, and now I'm 70, and somebody give me a cane, and now I'm 80. And God said, Moses, let's get busy, I got a ministry for you. You're 80 years old, let's go on an 80-day fast and not drink any water for the next 80 days. And after that, we got about 40 years of ministry here. You throw that cane away. We got no time for things like that. But somebody said, I'm 40 and I'm 50 and I'm getting older and more decrepit. Don't you see what the devil has done to your faith and believing? What's days and years and months got to do with it? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you understand it? Man has to die. Tell me, why is it that Adam lived about 900 years if men have to do that? He was made out of the same bone I'm made out of. He's made out of the same flesh. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that was a different day back there. Well, why was it Lamech didn't live but a little over 700 years? Adam lived 200 years more than he did. Somebody said, well, by that time things had done change and days got shorter. Well, why was it Noah jumped over in here to live another 800 or 900 years? See, you can't figure it out up here, can you? It goes back to what we said. But God just, He's fixing to pick up this little old thing you call time, push that little old thing together like an accordion, pitch it out yonder, throw it out of His presence out there in the outer darkness, and let it be gone forever. Brother, you better get out of that little time system of yours. You better become an eternal creature. You better become a son and daughter of God. You better get the mind of God. You better get your mind off of beans and bread and get your mind off of Cadillacs and home and get your mind off of the red devils and the bulldogs and get your mind on something outside of that thing and get your mind in the Spirit of God and realize that God's doing something in this world and forget about laying up dollars out yonder that you're going to throw to the bats when you cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on you. You love Jesus? Everything's getting down to the end of the trail, folks. I already want you to stand with me. I love you tonight. I have met some of the finest people here in this area that I have ever met in my life. I believe some of the sweetest and some of the not the hardest to preach to. Because some of them are, they're easy to preach to. But some of them, it looks like they're dead. It looks like that nothing really registers to them. As far as incorporating something in their lives. And really going on with God and waking up. And realizing the seriousness of what's taking place. God said, all that I've got's yours. All that I've got. But your iniquities tonight are keeping you back from Him. Our iniquities have separated us from the things of God, folks. And it's keeping us back from these great loving things. A brother called. I believe he called the wife this evening. And said God had given him a vision. Seemed like a fine brother. I never met him but one time. Had a chance to talk with him. But he seemed like a fine fella. He said, Brother Pike, I had a vision. I don't remember the vision exactly. Maybe he could correct me on it if he comes here some night. But he said in this vision, he said there was brethren, from what I understand, that was standing around a big vat of meat. And talked like the vats of meat was as tall as a man. And he talked like that they couldn't get the meat out of the vats.
And he said in the vision, he said, you came to the meat vats. And when you got a hold to the meat vats, you knew what to do to get the meat out of the vats. And you begin to get the meat out of the vats. And said when you broke it down to a half size, he said after that the brethren could get the meat out of the vat. And with tears, he told my companion, he said, nobody's going to convince me that God didn't bring you here to Jeffersonville, Indiana to give these people some meat. But brother, sister, how in the world are you going to give anybody meat when you have babes, contrary babes, like them people that jumped up and run out of here tonight that won't half listen to nothing. I mean won't half listen to nothing. They don't even listen long enough to get salvation, let alone meat. People like that ain't even got salvation. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me because they walk out front of this tent, they ain't got salvation? Anybody will walk out front of this tent when God speaking couldn't have salvation. Now you might have a little babe that don't know no better, and he might walk out money here not knowing any better. But anybody that's been in religion any time at all, that'd get up and walk out mother's tent when God's speaking, he couldn't have salvation. There ain't no way. You love Jesus? How could the nature of Jesus Christ walk out of the presence of the Father when it stated, I do always the things that please the Father? Somebody say, well, you kept us too long. That nature stayed in the mountains all night long on its face crying and weeping before God, and 40 days and 40 nights without food and the devil harassing it every minute of it. It stayed in the wilderness before God to please God. You love Jesus? Praise God. Glad to see Ed here from over in. Can't think of it. I called it last night. What part of Indiana? Muncie, Indiana. Glad to have Ed with us from Muncie, Indiana. Promised to get up that way sometime. They'd ask us to come to college up there and talk to the people, and we've never been able to get up into that area. They want us to come in there for a tent meeting. How have you loved Jesus? You love Jesus? Now, I want you to pray. They say the weather is supposed to change tomorrow. Whether it does or not, I don't know. Unless the Lord tells me, I don't know because I'm not a weatherman. Now, I have confounded the weatherman a few times. I've had him say it was going to snow and going to do this, and God would tell me, he said, I ain't going to do it because I'm going to do such and such. And I'd say, nope, he won't do that because God said he's going to do such and such. I have had the radio to say a tornado's heading your way. It's coming right down the highway. It's over here about a mile away fixing to strike. And I have held my hand up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you're going to turn, go another way. And it turned just like that. And the radio, while I had my hand raised to God, the radio say, something strange has happened. The thing's turning, going another way. But I'm still not a weatherman. I'm just a Christian. But they say that the weather is going to change tomorrow. And it's supposed to get up to about 60. It's supposed to be pretty. It's supposed to be pretty. All the week long it's supposed to be pretty. And I hope it does. Is that right? Supposed to get warmer. Brother JT calls it Indian summer. Indian summer. Supposed to get warm. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight, if you want the meeting to go on for another few days, the Lord hasn't told me to close it out. I may come back here tomorrow night. I may not have anybody. I don't know. Oh, get some more heaters. Yeah, get some more heaters if the weather don't change. Now, I may come back here tomorrow and may not have anybody. I don't ever remember but one time in my life going to a place not having anybody. I'll say this right hurriedly so I won't wear your patience. But in the state of Nebraska, about 1,500 miles away from home, Betty and I just started out in the ministry, and there I pastored a little church. I went out to this little church on a rainy Monday night. Wasn't nobody but me. That's the only time I remember the entire ministry. And I grumbled and I mumbled and I fussed. And I said, oh God, how awful. How awful. I was so embarrassed. I sat there and I said, my, this is so horrible. Here I sit and I come to church and not one person to preach to. And then when I got over my fussing and going on, and all of a sudden I began to take a change of heart. I began to take a change of mind. And then I got to thinking. And then I got happy. And then I got to rejoicing. And I said, glory to God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he said, what change of mind, Brother Pot? I got to thinking. I said, well, glory to God. I said, to think nobody loved God enough around here to come to church but me. Out of all the people of this area, ain't nobody in the house of God. It's wrote down in heaven in God's book that this night nobody didn't go to church but Brother Pye. And I had myself a time. So, you know, it depends on how you look at it. You love Jesus? But the Lord's always give us people to preach to. I know He'll give us people to preach to. I'll tell you one thing, folks, and I say this humbly. I know that you won't agree with it. Many of you won't. You'll just think it's a lifted up statement, and it's all right. I've said this a number of times concerning some meetings. But if the people of Jeff and the people of Louisville and the people of the surrounding areas knew what this tent meeting had to do with tonight, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't get a car parked within 1/4 mile. I believe you'd be fortunate if you could park a car within 1/4 mile of the tent. Sure, I knew you thought that would be a lifted up statement, a great big statement. But my hand be raised to God, that's the truth. If they knew tonight, I'll let my integrity with God rest on the fact that that's the truth tonight. If they knew what this was, you couldn't get one within 1/4 mile of here. So I'm glad I'm here tonight. But God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent so that they don't know. Like a thief in the night, He does it. Hides it. He hides it. All right, we're coming to the close of the service now. I have noticed that one thing is missing here in this area. The people are reverent, other than these people that you find walking out. You find them everywhere. The devil's got people that does that everywhere. They're irreverent. They just come to speculate, to look. They'll come back and they'll stay an hour or two, and they'll go out and they'll come back the next night and do the same thing. I've had the same ones to do it over and over. They don't have nothing, not looking for nothing. They're just in and out, don't know where they're going, just wandering stars. But I've found reverence, I've found respect. As a matter of fact, they're giving us a whole page write-up in the Louisville Times. It's coming out Tuesday or Wednesday. Even the man from the paper was so respectful here as he came out. He said, this got a hold of him. He said, I'm supposed to keep my mind on my business, but said, this thing got a hold of me. One night, they said he left with tears in his eyes. I found respect here, but I'm going to tell you this, and you might not agree with me, and it's all right. I love you just the same. But folks, there's one thing you got missing here in this area, the joy of the Lord. I don't know what you've done with it. I don't know where you put it. But you've lost the joy of the Lord. Jeffersonville, Indiana may have a lot of churches. And you may have a lot of knowledge. You may have great men. I don't doubt it. I'm not going to question it. You may have some of the finest churches in the world and some of the finest leaders. But I want you to know one thing. You don't have the joy of the Lord here. And I'll tell you this much. When you lose the joy of the Lord, you've lost your strength. The joy of the Lord's our strength. And when you lose the joy of the Lord, you lose your strength. And I'll tell you something else. When you lose your strength, you're not going to have any youth to follow after you. If you're expecting to win the youth of Louisville, Kentucky, and win the youth of this area, you'll never do it without the joy of the Lord. Them people's going out there to the football games and the bands and the entertainment where they can get a little joy and a little jubilance. And if you don't have any joy and jubilance in your worship, they're not going to come around where you're at. But I'll tell you what, if you'll get on fire for God and have a little joy, and they see a little joy in your life, I'll tell you, they'll come over to your house. You go out here tonight and set one of these houses on fire, and you'll have probably, may have a third part of Jeff out there if it burns long enough. You just start a little fire, and it don't take long to get a congregation. Did you know that? It don't take long. So then, what you need to do is get the joy of the Lord, folks.
You need to get the joy of the Lord. That's your strength. And if you'll band together and you'll pray and seek God, I'll seek God with you. And if we go on here for a few more days, then we'll get the joy of the Lord in this place. And I'll guarantee you, people give their heart to God, we'll have a revival here in Jeff. You believe that? That's all we got to do is have the joy of the Lord. You know, we sing that song, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Is that right? You don't have to manufacture anything. You don't have to get on the organ. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, you're going to get on the organ, have some rock and roll and all this thing." Brother, you don't have to manufacture nothing to get the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord's real. You get God's joy, and that organ up there will sound like an old worn out shoe compared to the joy of the Lord. You get the joy of the Lord, you don't need no organ, you don't need nothing. I appreciate the organ and the piano. It helps out, especially when people get like Saul sometimes, and they get so far away from God they can't hear God and can't feel the Spirit or anything else. You just about got to play the organ to get the devils out. Long enough where you can talk to them. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? But I tell you what, if you get the joy of the Lord, you get the real, genuine joy of the Lord, you don't have to manufacture nothing. The joy of the Lord will take care of every bit of it. You believe it? All right. I love you tonight. I appreciate you tonight. And I want you to lift your hands up. We want to worship the Lord tonight just for a few minutes. You know, down the home front, sometimes we have services and the people are not as jubilant as I like. And we kind of upbraid them sometimes. But folks, we have some services that you couldn't hardly believe. The glory of God comes down and the joy of the Lord is so wonderful and outstanding until it's absolutely unbelievable. Our people love Jesus and they worship God. They worship God. And here, there ain't no reason why you can't have it here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Did you know you got some pastors here in Jeffersonville, Indiana? Now, you listen to me. Before I came to Jeff, I had respect for them as being men of God. I'd read their magazines and books, and I thought they were men of God. I respected them. And I still don't disrespect them. So far as disrespecting them, I don't disrespect them. I don't disrespect them. Because I don't disrespect anybody. You know, in that way, Jesus called Judas friend. Not that Judas was his friend, but he was a friend to Judas. But you know what? In this way, I've lost my respect for them. I'll never believe that they've got what I thought they had. Anybody that'll see a tent meeting come to town and not even come over as much as one night to a meeting or fellowship it, I say this in the ears of all of you, they couldn't have nothing much from God. They couldn't have nothing much from God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, by that statement? I simply mean that any pastor that loved his people, knowing that a tent was here and this many people was turning out from night to night in a place as hard as Jeffersonville, Indiana is, any pastor ought to have been over here to make sure that the man that's preaching is on the level for the sake of just a few of his people that might have drifted over here. He couldn't have much from God. He couldn't have much from God. You love Jesus? That's where your problem is. It's not the sheep, folks. It's not the people. They tried to rend the garment. Every man looking to his own quarter for his own gain. What it is, every little church has got their own little group. And they're lining their pocketbooks. And they've got their own little programs. And they're taking their own little cut. And they're doing their own little thing. And they're afraid that they're going to lose some of their money some of their congregation so they won't fellowship. That's a shame, isn't it? But did you know that there's enough people of God that if they all come together, I could preach to every one of them. They could meet my needs. And when I got through, that other preacher could come and preach to every one of them. They could meet his needs. And when he got through, the other preacher could come and preach to every one of them, and they could meet his needs. And did you know when they got through meeting all of the true minister's needs, that they'd have plenty left over for themselves? Because the Bible said, give, it'll be given unto you. And God would give it back to them. And a true minister of God's not going to try to rob the sheep and take everything he can get from them anyway, because he's interested in doing something for them. But it's the ministers that's got the sheep all tore up. That's why they don't like it when Brother Pike comes to town. That's why they don't like it when a true minister comes to town. They're afraid it's going to tear up their little playhouse. When a true man of God comes to town, they get shaky in their boots. They don't care if an evangelist comes through. Let them come through. Let one come through. Let 10 come through. It isn't going to bother them. But let a true man of God come through that's going to ring the prayer bells of heaven and talk to God, that's going to get in touch with God. And they get shaky and they get scared. And they're not going to support him. They're not going to do anything. The quicker he closes out and the quicker they can smother that thing out, the better off they are. Because they want him to get out of the community and get out of it fast. And if they can do anything to discredit him, if they can say anything to discredit him, if they can lift up anything to discredit him, they'll do it. Like somebody over here in a church nearby, they announced my meeting. When they announced my meeting, they said, we want to announce that a fellow, Brother Pike, is going to have a meeting such and such in the tent, but we don't recommend him. Don't you know that's a hypocritical thing? Don't you know that's a hypocritical thing? A man couldn't be right with God and do a thing like that. Why don't you know they'd been better off not to announce my meeting? They should have left my meeting alone and not said nothing about it. They'd bring the wrath of God on them when they do a thing like that, because they discredit my meeting. They're influential in the area. I'm a stranger coming in here to some of the people. When they say things like that, they reflect my meeting, and God will get them for that. They shouldn't have said anything if they couldn't have done better than that. You know why they did it? Because their hearts wasn't right with God. Their hearts wasn't right with God. Their hearts wasn't right with God. That's why, my brother, sister. That's why the Bible said we should have charity. Charity loves its enemies. It does good to them that despitefully uses it. It prays for them that persecutes it. Isn't that right? You love Jesus tonight. While we tarry for just a minute tonight. While we tarry for just a minute, I'm going to let you go. Just bear with me for just a minute. Folks, listen. This tent will be gone in a little bit. It may be gone before tomorrow. I may take it down tonight. I have, after service, just take it right down at night, fold up and leave. I haven't got any leading to so far. As far as I know, it's going to be here tomorrow night. I tell all of you, as far as I know, it's going to be here. Unless God speaks to me different, it's going to be here tomorrow night. And I hope you'll be here with me. But tarry with me for just a few minutes. It won't be here long. These few days will be gone by, and the tent meeting will be history. And if I am of God, and if God did send me, whatever right or wrong you did, ever how you treated me in your area, you'll have to reap it one way or another. Ever how these preachers treated me, just think of it like this now. If God did not send me, they've got nothing to lose. If God didn't send me, they've got nothing to lose by loving me. Because Jesus called Judas friend. But just supposing that God did send me, and brother, he did send me. But for you skeptics and unbelievers, just suppose he did send me, giving you the benefit of the doubt. If God did send me here, and I leave this area, and they've done the things that some of them's done, you can believe that they're in trouble. You can believe they're in trouble. I left an area, in this area, God spoke to my heart. I left that area. And I said, Betty, let's get out of this valley. I said, according to what I understand, the Lord's fixing to move here. I wouldn't be surprised if that river come up and flooded this entire valley. We got out of there and the river come up. And the radio stated, said the river has come up. And the entire valley is flooded. And thousands upon thousands of people's lives are in jeopardy because of it. You say, Brother Pike, that was just a coincidence. It might have been a coincidence, but it stayed up. Damage was done. Lives was lost. Sorrow was felt. I got so grieved. I got so tore up. I went to God and I said, God, there's little children. There's mothers. There's daddies. Oh, God, have compassion. My brother, God knows this is the truth to the best of my remembrance and knowledge. I prayed and the radio said something has happened. The river's receding and going back down into its banks. You say that don't have nothing to do with it. I was in another place. That happened over in Ohio. Or Virginia. Virginia. I was over in Alabama. I told Betty that God was displeased with the place. And he was going to do something to that valley. And folks, this is the truth. It had been many, many, many years. So far back that people could hardly remember. Since they'd ever had any trouble out of the river. But they refused me a building right next to the river that I'd asked for a meeting. I went on and set a tent meeting. I prayed and I sought God. And the river come up. It flooded that valley, and they had stores and the banks where you pulled up with the automobiles. You had to pull up like this and go up a flight of steps to just to get on the sidewalk to get in the stores. And the water rose so high, come up over that, come up over the cement, and still went into the stores. And they had to get the Navy to put them boats out there to where they could get around. This is just some of the few things that's happened. We went into a place and they mistreated us in a place. And I said, God, it's going to get these people, Benny. I said, God don't like what they done here. And when we left from there, a plague of rats hit the place. And the rats were so bad, they came into the beds and was biting and eating the people in their beds. What is it? Somebody said, I don't believe that. I know you don't because you're an unbeliever. But the Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Just because you don't believe it, does that mean that God's not going to do it? Just because you walk out from under the tent and say, I don't believe that, does that mean it isn't going to be like that? It just means that God's going to bypass you because of your unbelief and take it down to the one that believes. It just means God's going to curse you and bless the other ones. That's all. You love Jesus? I want to see a blessing in Jeffersonville, Indiana. There's a lot of good people here. I have prayed continually since I've been here. I have sought God continually. If you think I'm lying, you ask my companion. I have sought him continually since I've been here. That God would bless this meeting and God would bless Jeffersonville, Indiana. And God would bless Louisville, Kentucky. And God would bless these people. I have pleaded with God to do something here to heal, to save, and to bring a blessing in this place. But there was a great man of God. I heard about it. I don't know that it's true, but they said that the man made the statement. A man by the name of William Branham, maybe you know him. He said that Jeffersonville, Indiana was cursed. Is that right, brother? Said it was cursed. Now, there's one thing about it. A long spell has passed over since that time. It's one thing about it. When the curse fell in the days of Saul, David besought God and God had mercy and lifted the curse. If there's something hanging over this place, if there's something wrong here, whatever, if you love Jesus, if we band together, if we praise God, if we love the Lord, if that be that way, God can lift it. God can bless. God can bring the joy of the Lord. God can give a revival. Jeff won't be called the hard place to have a revival. The streams of Christ will begin to flow again in the desert. And they'll have water aplenty here. And the people won't be dry and all mixed up and crossed up. It won't be a vision of contrary babies. But it'll be a something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You love Jesus? I'm going to say this too. There's a group of people here that, as far as I know, they're supposed to be that man's following. And some of them are contrary, just like in every other walk of life. Some of them are good people. Some of them are contrary. Met good ones in there and I met bad ones. But did you know he said his own following, within 3 years, I believe he said, after his death would become a denomination. And did you know that his following, as well as John Wesley's following, as well as Calvin's following, as well as Luther's following, as well as all of the other followings, have done the same thing. They have denominated in such a way that they have froze God out. And they've lost their visions for souls. But folks, it's time that we come back to God. Isn't that right? I'm not trying to weary you. I just ask you to tarry with me for a few minutes. It takes a little effort to have a revival. It takes breaking down fleshly resistance to have a little revival. It takes a little. Jesus hung on the cross there. He hung at Calvary. He broke his resistance down for your sake. Lift your hands up for just a few minutes. I'm not going to take time to pray for the sick tonight. So I'm taking this little time to exhort you. There hadn't been but about one or two nights that I hadn't prayed for the sick. I'm just going to pray for the sick as a whole while you stand out there tonight. But I wonder tonight, instead of giving an altar call like I usually do and asking to come to the altar. Now last night we gave an altar call. We had a crowd of people, more than we've got tonight. And the altars filled up. Everybody practically in the tent came to the altar. But tonight, I just want you to lift your hands up. It's been a hard spirit tonight. Not a fighting spirit. It's not that. It's just that the devil planted those few families here that jumped up and run out of the tent to change the... It caused a different atmosphere to fall over the tent. He planted them here. The devil planted them here to do that. So that it would be for that purpose. Spots and blemishes in your feast of charity. He put them here for that purpose. Carnal minds, it's imitative of God. So that he could create the interruption tonight. So I'm just going to do it this way tonight. I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes. Folks, I can say this pretty freely tonight. I think I'll go ahead and say it. Last night I couldn't say it. There was somebody here last night. You know, I'd got an emergency call. I'd got this emergency call and I said last night to my audience, I said, there's somebody standing here, their heart's going to be broken and tore all to pieces. When that mother, sister, and another sister walked out from under this tent, they told them that her son had been hit by an automobile. That the automobile had run over the son, had crushed the pelvis, crushed the collarbone, broke all the ribs on one side, broke both arms, punctured both lungs. The mother couldn't hardly take it. She dropped to her knees. She dropped to her knees. You can ask some of the people that's in the audience. There's one or two here that was there the night I said it. That young feller, one about in his early 20s, he came to my service one night. He stood there in the balcony, and I turned to the left, and I said, this young man standing over here, I said, the Lord shows me that death is stalking this young man. And I said, he's on this man's trail. And I said, young fella, it's going to get you. I said, if you don't do something, it's going to get you. I said, because it's on your trail. From that time, it struck. One thing happened. Another thing happened. Another thing happened. And then this final crushing blow. And he's laying in the hospital tonight, lingering between life and death. And the first report they gave was that the doctors had done all they could do, and they didn't think he would survive. We've been praying and believing God. Others have been praying and believing God that God will do something for this boy. And I pray that you will pray that God will do something for this boy. I beg of you tonight. But you know what it is? That boy wouldn't listen. That boy wouldn't listen. He thought it couldn't happen to him. He thought he had all the answers. There's too many of them that come in and out this tent, that get up and walk out, and they say, that preacher up there, I don't have to listen to that preacher. Who does he think he is coming here to Jeffersonville, Indiana, when we've got all the answers, when we're who we are? Don't he know who we are? Brother, let me tell you something. It don't matter who you are tonight. When God says something, it don't matter what you say or what I say or what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what you think or I think or what anybody else thinks. It's what God has to say about it. And if God sends me to you or sends you to me, then it's time to do something. David of old was a king, but when that little prophet came and stood before him and said, thus saith the Lord, David, thou art the man. The Bible said terror hit, and the sword never did depart from David's house. One death right after another, one sorrow right after another, one heartache right after another. I'm so glad to see Ed standing here tonight. Ed was in a dying condition. We prayed to God. Others prayed that God would save Ed from death. And Ed's up, going again, when the doctors didn't think he could make it. All by faith in God. Don't you love Jesus tonight? All that I have is yours tonight. Oh, let's get the joy of the Lord. Oh, I feel faith. Something has been said that stirred your faith. And I feel faith, and I feel a little jubilance and joy and fear of the Lord tonight. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I feel his lovely presence tonight. Let's just lift our hands up and love him for just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for this lovely audience, I stretch out my hands over this audience tonight. And dear God, I know there's afflictions here. I know that there's people that need deliverance here. I know there's people that's oppressed with unclean spirits here tonight. I know there's people that's troubled here. But oh God, tonight I'm asking in the name of your Son Jesus to move by your Spirit tonight. Father, I'm asking you to heal tonight. I'm asking you to save tonight. I'm asking you to forgive tonight. I'm asking you to forgive their sins tonight, to take away their iniquity tonight. I'm asking you, oh God, to roll back the evil powers tonight. Lord, as the curtain, Lord, to rend the veil tonight and let the bright light of heaven shine through. Father, help us to rend our hearts and not our garments tonight. And Father, let the light of God penetrate this veil of darkness tonight. And my God, let light come in. And let great light spring up into this area. For Father, you said them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, them that sat in darkness, to them great light has sprang up. Father, let great light spring up tonight and stretch out your hand tonight. Father, and heal tonight. Father, heal these people tonight. Father, save these people tonight. Father, forgive these people tonight. Father, bless these people tonight. I'm asking you to bless them. Father, you said, I'll bless them that you bless and I'll curse them that you curse. Father, these people have tarried with me through this service and they've listened very reverently. And Father, they've bored with me patiently. And I pray that you'd bless these people tonight. Open their understanding tonight and bless them, Father. And heal them and supply their needs tonight. Keep them safe on the highways, Father. Drive away the evil powers from their homes. Restore happiness to their hearts and to their home. Watch over their children, Father. Do something for these people. And dear God, these people that come in and out this tent, dear wonderful God, here around Jeffersonville, Indiana, and in Louisville, Kentucky, and the surrounding areas, Lord, that want to hear about God, that want to understand the things of God, that want to have a blessing from Christ, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to open their understanding. I ask you to elevate them in the Spirit. I ask you to do something special for them. I ask you to let the great Spirit of God move over this area and the surrounding areas and move this blanket of darkness. Father, that the great light of God could come. I ask you to lift the curse from this place. Father, lift the veil of death from this place. I ask you to move by the Holy Ghost tonight. As I feel Him moving in the Spirit here tonight. Father, move that suppressing power back as the great, wonderful anointing of the Almighty God comes down. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Let the great Holy Spirit be here tonight to do something in an outstanding way, Almighty God. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Heal, save, and forgive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want you to worship the Lord. I want you to come back and be with us tomorrow night. As far as I know, we're going to keep the tent up unless the Lord tells me different. And I want you to come back and be with us tomorrow night.